So we're continuing in the Tosus on Nun Vav Amud Aleph in Bava Kamma. So Tosus had just finished making his distinction by Kofso B'Makam Shasov Chama Lavo, whether or not he actually was Mevio Sham. And if he was Mevio Sham, so then it's no different than putting the guy in front of a train that's coming, or a bullet. As opposed to if the guy was already there and then he tied him up, so then he'll be putter because it won't be a mitzamtzeim that the Torah was mechayev. That the Torah didn't define a guy as a rotzeach in that case, according to Tosus. It has to be mitzamtzeimo means that the process of the hariga, of the nezek, had already begun. So now we're up to the case of the askel alei bidki demaya. So Tosa says, v'hahi da askel alei bidki demaya. Okay, so a guy who caused a rush of water, a wave of water, to come upon a guy, afilu kufso ve'viosham, even if he tied him up and brought him there, va'achakach askil potter. Even if he brought him there and then caused the water to kill him, he'd be potter. The dummy lezore chait utris biyado. It's comparable to a case where a guy is zorek a chait, an arrow, a spear, and while it's in mid-flight, the person, he's not yet a victim, but there's somebody that the arrow is rushing towards, but he's holding a shield, a tris. Vafilu kadam hu v'natlo potter. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that even if the guy who was zorek the chetz ran ahead, raced ahead, beat the arrow to the place, and pulled the tris from the guy, he'd still be potter. He'd still be potter. And Tosus compares Bitke Demaya, the case of Bitke Demaya, to the case of the Tris. So it would probably make sense to do two things. One is to understand what is the case of Tris, exactly why is it putter. Two, it would be worthwhile looking at the Gemara in Sanhedrin and finding out what is the case of Bidke Demaya, and then to decide the comparison that Tosus makes, and why is he making it. I guess that should be the game plan. And why is he bringing in this whole thing into this Tosus altogether? Okay, so let's do that. Okay, should we analyze Tris first? Or do you want to read the case of Bidki Demaya first? Okay, so the suggestion is, since the Gemara on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, the Tris case is first, let's analyze it first. Okay, so clearly the Gemara with the fact that it says Vafilu Kodam Huva Nutlo Potter. There it's the Gemara clearly holds that if it's two different individuals, of course it's Potter. Which should be understood also, by the way. And then we should understand what is the Chiddush Afilu Kodam Huva Nutlo. And if it's the same guy who's the arrow shooter, as well as the remover of the tris, even that is Potter. So, okay, let's understand that. That's what we have to understand. The case of the tris. So I guess let's start off. Somebody say, so why is the Zoreg Chetz Potter? Let's just start from, let's isolate it. Why is the Zoreg Chetz Potter? So, of course, this is Pashut, that the guy who was Zoreg the Chetz was not a Mamus. It was not a killing arrow. In fact, it wasn't even an arrow of Nezek, because he was shooting it at a guy who was holding a tris. So it was going to do nothing. And now, once it left his hands, that's it. Nothing to talk about. His Maisa was a, from a standpoint of Chiyuve Nezek and Nisa, it's innocent, if you know what I mean. Okay? So that's easy. Good. Now, what about the guy who removes the tris? What about that gentleman? So the answer is, it's just a grama. Just the grama. Now, how would you differentiate that as opposed to placing a guy in the path of a chetz, where clearly if a chetz was in flight and you push the guy in the path of the arrow, you would certainly be a rotzeach. That would be chayef for sure. So now, why is this case Potter exactly? Why is this so clearly Grama? We should clarify that point. In other words, by tris is an extraneous act. What does it mean it's extraneous? It's extraneous to the Gavra, the victim, and it's extraneous to the arrow. And through this extraneous force, or this extraneous act, you're redefining the arrow. The arrow was a non-mamus, and now through your extraneous act, you now, in mid-flight, define it as a manus. And that's exactly why it's grama. Whereas if you would have acted on the arrow itself, of course, let's assume you were able in mid-flight to somehow change the arrow's characteristic, you know, you Teflon coat it, that it can go through a shield. So then, of course, he'd be a murderer. That wouldn't be extraneous. But it's an outside reinterpretation, and therefore that is considered grama. Good. That's exactly tris. Now, let's take the last step in that case. What is the Chiddush Vafilu Kadam Hu V'Natlo Potter? That even if the guy himself who Zorek the Chetz, if he removes the tris, it's Potter. Well, what's the Chiddush? Well, of course, what do I care if it's the same guy? Yeah. Go ahead. In other words, it sounds like what the Gemara is saying is that since you're dealing with the same gavra, so insofar as the mind of the gavra, there's a tziruf between the two. In other words, he knows when he shoots the arrow, he's going to go and remove the shield. So from in the standpoint of the mind of that person, the two activities are mitzurafin. And you could argue that therefore, insofar as his plan was concerned, it was a mamus. Just chronologically, it works out in a different order. But really, insofar as the intention of the gavra, there's going to be a tziruf. Kamash Malan? No. It goes by the chronological order of the activities. And at the time he does the Maisa, no matter how diabolical he is, at the time of the Maisa, it's a Maisa of a non-killing arrow. And the fact that he renders it later, it's going to be the same thing as another guy doing it. Later is still going to be an extraneous activity that's redefining and reinterpreting the force. And that's Grama. That's the Chiddush of the Gemara. That you're not mitstaref the two events via the mind of the perpetrator. But you go by the actual, mitzias, insofar as defining the activities. Good.
According to your halamina, when would it attain?
Yeah, it depends what you mean. Right. Of course you're going to have to, if you're going to say the Havamina, so it's true, once he removes the shield, then retroactively, but it's not really insofar as the Havamina would be concerned, that's just the way it plays out, the retroactive. But really, insofar as the Gavra will turn out, you're going to look back and know that really when it left his hands, it really was a Mamus. Yeah, that's the old story. Right. But that's rejected. So you're not mitstaref the two events through the Gavra, through the mind of the Gavra, through the plan of the Gavra. I can hear the Havamina. If the Ramban's idea of Kedoshim Tiyu, you shouldn't be a Menovel Brishas Satara. This is more than a Menovel. He's basically a Rotzeach. But he beat the system. And now we should turn our attention to Bitki Damaya. Alright, good. We have Tris. Let's take a look at Bitki Damaya. Okay, towards the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Amar Rav Papa. Haiman de kafse lechavre va'ashkilale bitke de maya. Gire de dehu. Guy ties up his friend and then allows the stream, the flow of water, to drown him. So Rav Papa said, Gire de dehu. It's his arrows. Umechayev. And of course, he's chayev. Be a rotzeach. Rashi says, "Giri de dehu, hein chitzav, varehu kizorik bocheitz." It's no different than shooting an arrow. Okay. Then we should come back to the Rashi because then the Gemara says, "Han emili bekoach risham." That's if it's the initial force. Aval b'koach sheni grama ba'almahu. But if it's a secondary force that drowns him, then it's grama ba'alma. Meaning you can't define it as chitzav. Yeah, that's what Rashi says, right? Giri didehu, hein hein chitzav, varehu kizorek bochets, uchidimifarish va'azil, shamayim boyim, bekoach rishon olav miyat, kigon sheinichos samach l'sfas hayam, v'hasafa madron. I mean, it's on a, what do you call it? Thank you. Yeah, I was trying to say angle, but no, the slope, right. Incline. All right. Bekoach rishon, keshepina lehem derech litzad zeh, miyad, naflo lov, dahavi kocho. Yeah, but similar in the cases, similar, but they have the idea, like, you can imagine, like a wall of water, and there's, like, a dam that's blocking it. And you remove the dam, and now the water flows on the guy and kills him. Okay? Same idea. Aval b'koach sheini, sheini chorocho ktsas, velo naflo maya miyad b'tseisa migidro sehen alav. Okay, that's not what killed him. Elo achem ikan holcho ala makam shusham, gromahu velo mikocho. Meaning, if he's further away, and now the water comes, you let loose this torrent of water, but he's further away. And now it slowly fills up and drowns him. Because, of course, he's a kafsa shom. You tied him up there. He can't escape. So that, the Gemara says, is koach sheini and is gromo. You can't define it as maisa chitzav. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara's main point, the distinction is whether it's koach rishon or it's koach sheni. That's the Gemara's distinction. Very clear. No argument about that. It's that kind of an analysis. You release the water, the initial rush, that's considered chitzav. That's no different than releasing any other potential, force, like releasing an arrow. Okay?
This sounds like every James Bond movie when Mr. Evil leaves him
to. Right, yeah, he always makes the mistake of going with Koach Sheini, though.
Yeah.
That's their mistake. They would just kill him with Koach Risha and the show would be over. It was like everything about a kid. Huh? So that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara of Ashkelay Bitkidamaya. So after you read that, and you know that case in Sanhedrin, I mean, quite frankly, the whole Tosis in Baba Kama is completely, you don't understand what he's doing. What does this have to do with Triss? In other words, Triss is a question, a whole different idea of Grama. It's an idea of Grama of an extraneous force. I mean, or extraneous act. What do you need the case? In other words, first of all, it's a different case. It's an extraneous act. And here it's a question of whether it's Koach Rishon or Koach Sheini. It's a different idea of Grama, first of all. Moreover, why does he have to bring that as a raya? Is Tris some special paradigm case? The Gemara in Sanhedrin is not throwing in Tris all of a sudden. Like, why is Tosis so interested in Tris over here? Why did and the whole Tosis doesn't make sense? All Tosis should have said was Vahida askalei bitkidemaya afilu kafso viyavisham. Fachach askil potter the koach sheniu. That's all Tosafot should have said. If he's following the Gemara right, it's because it's koach sheni, not because it's domelatris. What is the whole? What's Tosafot doing here? I don't know why he has to even bring in the case of Bidki Demai. Whatever. We'll figure that out soon. But whatever he's, whatever motives he has of bringing it in, his raya from Tris just, it doesn't cut it. It's ain't a doma. It's completely ain't a doma. And moreover, the Gemara itself gives a completely different reason because it's ain't a doma. The Gemara says because it's called shady. That's the whole distinction. Nothing else. Nothing else to talk about. So that, I think, is the problem. The Maharam, you know, below the Maharsha, the Maharam in Lublin, yeah, he caught the problem. He did catch the problem. You read the Maharam on your own. We're going to give a different answer than he does. He tries to work it out within the world of... you'll see. I'll get to it in a minute. Yeah, so Rebbe said like this. He said... Tosus makes the point that what? He makes the point... The askilale bitke de maya afilu kofso vehevio sham the achakach askil potter. You know, Tosus makes the point, and that's why it's in the Tosus, that now he wants to show you a case where even though hevio sham, it's still going to be potter. Right? Because until now, that's exactly his point. If he view sham, that's when you're chayef. But over here, in other words, like this, we're not talking about the koach rishon case, because that's just a classic case of chitzav, according to the Gemara. We're talking about the case where the Gemara says he's potter, which is the koach sheni case. But what Tosus wants to show you is like this. You brought the guy out there. He was tied up out there. So, the point is, what Tosfos wants to show you is that you don't say over here, Sof Chamalovo. Meaning to say, if you would have brought him out there, in the case where it's Koach Sheni, right? Let's assume the water was already flowing. If the water were already flowing, that would be a classic case of Esho Mishum Chitzav, meaning you place them in the path of an unstoppable force. It would be no different than tying a guy to railroad tracks and the train's coming in an hour. The distance doesn't change the unstoppable force. If you bring him out there, I'm not talking about Mitzamtzim, of course. I'm talking about you bring him out there. You put him in the path. So if you put him in the path, that would be an unstoppable force. So if you had water flowing, you tie a guy down somewhere where eventually the water's going to fill up and kill him, of course you'd be a Rotzeach. But over here, what Tosus wants to tell you is that even though you're the guy who tied him up and you know you're going to release the water afterwards, that does not give it a status of Sof Chama Lovo. Just like you know that by the case of Tris. That's his analysis. In other words, even though you know you're going to release the water, you don't say that the fact that it's the same gavra, that's mitzaref the two activities. And now you'll say it's as if the water were flowing, and therefore it's a case of sof chama lava. You don't say that. That's exactly what you don't say. And that's why the Gemara limits it. That's why the Gemara Rav Papa shows you that the analysis of that case is going to be purely classic Achitzav distinction of Koach Rishon versus Koach Sheni. In other words, when you tied the guy up, the water wasn't flowing. You know you're going to cause it to flow. So the Gemara is showing you that's nothing. That's just like Tris. Now when you release the water, so that's considered your force. But it's only your force, the Gemara says, for the Koach Rishon. What happens later is considered Koach Sheni. But Tosis is showing you the underlying idea of the Gemara, that the Gemara is showing you the analysis is purely about your force, and don't give the argument that it's Esho Mishum Chitzav, i.e. you put him in front of an unstoppable force when you tied him at the other end, because you already knew you're going to release the water. That's what Tosis wants to show you. And that's exactly why he brings in the case of Tris. So Tosis had a deeper understanding of that Gemara, that Rav Papa isn't just showing you Koach Rishon, Koach Sheni. Rav Papa is coming with a premise already because of the idea of Tris. So he's showing you that even though you tied him up, you brought the guy, and you as a Gavra, you know you're going to release the water. So maybe you'll say that it's mashve, you know, it renders that thing like putting him in front of an unstoppable sof chamalavo, putting him in front of an unstoppable force. Kamash Milan, no, it's just like Tris. And therefore, now there's only one question you have to ask yourself. Is it Koach Rishon or is it Koach Sheni? If in fact you tied him up close enough to the original force of the water that you released, and a Hanavi, you'd be a murderer. But not because it was Sof Chamalava, because that's exactly why Rashi gives that emphatic Hain Hain Chitzav. That would be a real case of an Ara. But if it's further away, it might be Chitzav, but it's Groma now. Now it's considered a Koach Sheni. That's not really, halachically speaking, that's not Chitzav. That's what Tosus is doing over here. So you now know why it's in the Tosus, because Tosus just got done telling you that bringing a guy to an unstoppable force, that's exactly when you chayev. But now Tosus wants to make it clear that the definition of an unstoppable force means the unstoppable force is already in motion. It's already a force. Not that it's in your head that you're going to do it. And how do you know that? Oh, that's the case of Tris. That's what they'll show you. That the Rav Papa more complex, a deeper thing. There's two parts to it. There's the Tris concept underlying it, and then dealing with the force, which is a distinction between Koach Rishon, the primary force, and Koach Sheni. That's what Tosis does. And that, I would say, is Kaft of a Ferach. And of course, I think I said it already, of course, if the water was flowing, I don't care if it was coming down the canyon 3 miles down, and you tie a guy somewhere in the canyon, you'd be chayim, of course. That would be Sof Chamalavo. That would be classic. The difference here is there's a dam in the way, and you're going to remove that dam or whatever. You're going to re-veer the water. Whatever, however you learn, like which region, I don't care. But that's the difference. That's exactly like Tris. You shoot the arrow, and you remove, it's not exactly the same case, of course, but it's the same concept, which is the idea of the Gavra. But here, there's a further point that after you get out of that point, you still have to deal with the force, because you're releasing it. Oh, so that's Koach Rishon, that's Koach Sheni. Beautiful. Yeah. somebody just as Josh asked about the difference between Koach Rishon and Koach Sheni, which we haven't defined. But I was just pointing out that I think everybody would understand that at some point, even though you release something, that it doesn't always remain your force. At some point you say that you're just the cause, and now it's the force of the water itself, the natural flow. At some point you say there's a natural flow that takes over the identity. Just like you have like a halacha, like if you don't have a kos, for netilas yadayim, so some hold, you could open up the faucet and wash under a faucet. Okay, there's a riot for that from a case of the irrigation lines. I don't remember where that Gemara is. I don't remember if it was Mishnayis and Yadayim or maybe a Gemara in Chulin. I don't remember. But
I think Gemara in Chulin.
A Gemara in Chulin? Okay. So over there, they say, but the Tilas Yadayim has to be Koach Gavra. So they say you should open the faucet, close it, open it. You just can't let the stream go. You're not going to say a guy who comes there a minute later that's still Koach Gavra. It has to be related to your action, that you let the first stream out, and that's attributable to your action. After that, you say, look, that's it. The thing's open. Now it's flowing because of the water pressure. Of course, the water pressure is involved in the first instance too, but it's different. You want to know the exact difference, but good question. But I just want to show you at least, I think intuitively everybody would agree, you could say that at some point there's a distinction. How exactly you define that precisely is a good question. All right. Yeah. After that, then you have the last thing of Tosis. Vim Tomar. Hahi dehi shechbo asanachash depotar. Lemandam me'atzmohu makish. Amai potter, lefim ashepirish v'shmeisen the pi para shesam yadol esoch piv. Lefim ashepirish v'shmeisen the pi para shesam yadol esoch piv v'heishich lechayev mishum esho the vaday hanachash yazik ha'adam. Yeah, I don't get lost in that whole thing with the pi para. That's a little bit of a complicated thing. I don't want to get lost there. Let's just extract the main point, the main kasha of Tosis. What's his kasha? So you have two cases. You have Shisa and Heshech. If you look on the Mishnah, Ayin Vav Amud Beis in Sanhedrin. So Shisa means poke the snake, and you're poking the snake, cause the snake to bite somebody. So that's definitely putter. But the other case is heishich. So in heishich, you put the snake right on the guy's arm. You know, you put its mouth on his arm, or whatever, on his body. Satosis kasha, so it's a machlokas. Reb Yehuda and the Chacham. So the Chacham say, you're potter. Reb Yehuda says, you're chayef. All right. Satosis wants to know, why? Why would the Chacham say, you're potter? The Vaday Anachash Yazik HaAdam. So why don't you say it's an unstoppable force. It's an unstoppable force. You put the guy exactly into proximity of an unstoppable force. So what is his answer? The Yeshlomar, the Shiny Hasam, She'ein Ha'eres Adayin Ba'olam. There it's different, because the poison is yet to be in the world. That's what Tosa says. Now it's interesting, if you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Ayin Ches Amar Aleph, at the end, right before the Mishnah, when it takes up this case, the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, why Yichayev? Because the Eres is Beshinov. The Eres is in his fangs. And the Chacham say no. So it's very interesting. If you look up the world of snakes, you find out that, in fact, how does it really work? That the snake keeps its eres, the poison, the venom, it has these sacs in the, I guess, the back of its mouth. And when it bites, it compresses, you know, has some whatever muscle action, and it ejects the eres into the fangs, and then of course goes into your body, into your bloodstream. So it's interesting that there is such an idea, and I don't mean rare necessarily, but there's definitely an idea of a snake giving a dry bite. Giving a dry bite. Yeah. So it seems that that's what Tosus's answer is. Tosus's answer is that when you put the snake on the guy, the unstoppable force is the bite. Is the bite. But since it's a living creature, so it's going to be a separate action of whether or not it's going to inject the venom. So therefore, that's Grumma. That's what he means. It's a dying ain ba'olam. In opposition to Rabbi Yehuda, who views it, and I'm not saying it's a machlokas and metzias, by the way. I don't have an exact definition, but maybe something to think about during the week. But as Rabbi Yehuda looks at it, as if it's bein shinov, it's already in the teeth, it's already in the fangs. And that's how he looks at it. That's why he says it's chayev. But Tosis is saying, no, the reason why it's a potter is because it's two, he's giving the svara for the Chachamim, that it's considered two different actions. And you can only attribute to the Adam, the unstoppable one, is the bite. But the venom is a different Misa categorically. And Haraya, you see, there could be a dry bite. So if that was impossible, that the very action of biting equals RS, that'd be a different thing. But it doesn't. It's two separate mice, categorically. And therefore, that's not considered an unstoppable force. That's what Tosus means. It's Eina Eres, Ba'olam. It's not here. At the time when you put your thing, the only unstoppable force is the biting itself. And therefore, that's why he holds it's that's the svar of the Chacham, that it's pater. So in this last piece, he just wanted to show you an unstoppable force, if it could be distinguished as being a separate action, even though it might happen many times, that's still not defined as an unstoppable force. You know, when I first read it, I was thinking, it sounds like a Metzias Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. But it's funny, one of the kids in school started to, he didn't have it clear, but he started to say that maybe it's not a Metzias thing. Rabbi Yehuda knew that, but he still viewed it halachically as Ha'eres Bein HaShinayim. But I hear where you're going. I can see what you're saying. But I didn't have a definition. Is it possible to say that you distinguish an unstoppable force? Is an unstoppable force defined categorically by Misa? Or is an unstoppable force defined statistically? If you say statistically, Eres Bein HaShinayim. If you say not, if you go by Misa, then it's two separate things. Yeah, I mean, we really got a, boy, that Tosa's pretty, I tell you, you get a good, you know, a good view of Tosa's old business of Eisha Mishum Chitza, of Ritzicha. I mean, it's not a long Tosa, but pretty comprehensive. Of course, there are other Shitas, as we shall see. Yeah, the Ram has a very different view. Very different than Tosas. He learns a lot of these he interprets a lot of these Gemaras differently. Alright, but that's Tosas.